This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The U.S. Open is back in Pinehurst, North Carolina for the third time in the last 15 years. The first round of the tournament doesn't start till tomorrow, but the event has already set a few records. This is going to be the first time that the men's and the women's championship will be played on the same course in two consecutive weeks. 11-year-old Lucy Lee is the youngest golfer ever to qualify for the Women's Open, and the grueling Pinehurst No. 2 has been restored to a course that resembles those from the origins of golf. Here to talk about that and more on the 114th U.S. Open is Michael Trostel. He is senior historian for the U.S. Golf Association. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about Pinehurst No. 2. What is so special? Give us a brief history of this course.
Well, it's a beautiful area down here. It's really just made for golf. It feels like, you know, it's been described as the mecca of golf in the United States, like St. Andrews is over in Scotland. It started here in the late 19th century with James Walker Tufts coming here as a soda fountain magnate up in Boston. Came down here and wanted this to be kind of a health resort for people to get away and spend their winters, or the people from New England. Donald Ross came here down in 1900. He was the golf professional here at Pinehurst and became one of the most prolific golf course architects in the United States. Built the number two course down here at Pinehurst in 1907. It's hosted several championships over the year. The North and South Amateur, which is the longest continuously running amateur championship in the United States. They'll have the 114th edition of that coming up this year. They had a PGA championship here in 1936, a Ryder Cup in 1951. And as you mentioned a little bit earlier, this will be the third U.S. Open in the last 15 years.
That said, it wasn't until 1999 that Pinehurst hosted its first U.S. Open. Why did it take so long?
It did take a little while. The conversion from sand greens to grass greens, believe it or not, didn't happen until 1936. And then throughout that time, there was a little concern with the U.S. Open falling on June and July every year of coming this far south with the weather being so hot, thunderstorms. But, you know, we made the decision in the mid-1990s to come down here. Pinehurst was gracious enough to offer us an invitation, the USGA, to come down here and host the championship. And it's been fantastic. It's been very well embraced, very warmly embraced by the community. We have, tens of thousands of volunteers that have come out from the community. And it's been a fantastic championship. In 1999, 2005, and this year.
Sand greens. See, this is something I didn't know about golf. There were golf courses with sand greens?
Yeah, down south, it was very difficult to grow grass before irrigation when the weather was that warm in the summer. So they were oiled sand greens that they had up until 36. So Donald Ross, he really moved down here permanently in 1910 and continually tweaked the course through the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And he oversaw the changeover from sand greens to grass greens. So he lived right up the third hole of Pinehurst No. 2. So of the 400 or so courses that he designed, this really was his gem. It was his baby that he loved to work on.
But they call them greens and not browns anyway, right, I guess. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that first tournament that we talked about in 1999 ended up being one of the most memorable in U.S. history. Payne Stewart down by one shot to Phil Mickelson on the 16th hole, and a back-and-forth battle all day long. Kind of some important personal stories as part of all this, but Payne Stewart was nearly perfect in his last three shots. Let's listen to the broadcast from NBC Sports.
There's a bogey on the 16th hole last year that proved to be the margin that Payne Stewart lost by. Oh, what a putt!
Shot starts just left of the hole, cutting just right of the hole.
Open champion. Oh my,
what a clutch putt.
So tell us, Michael Trostel, a little bit about the story behind that and the personal story that made that such an important victory.
Well, as you could hear there, it was really one of the most exciting finishes, dramatic finishes in U.S. Open history in our 114 championships that have been played. And, it came down right to the end. Starting the final day, it was a great leaderboard. I mean, you had Tiger Woods, you had Vijay Singh, who had just won the PGA Championship, David Duval, who was the world number one, and, of course, Payne Stewart, and Phil Mickelson. And the drama throughout the week is that Phil's wife, Amy, was 8.5 months pregnant with the couple's first child. So Phil was carrying a beeper around with him the whole time. And if that went off, then he said he would withdraw and go back and be with her back in California. It never went off, so the drama continued, and we came down to the 16th hole, and Payne Stewart down by one. As you could hear, he kind of sculled his chip, had about 25 feet to save par, a very difficult putt down the hill, double breaker, and knocked it in with plenty of speed. Phil missed his par putt from about 8 feet. The following hole, the par 3, 17th, both players hit it in there within 8 feet. Payne made his birdie putt. Phil missed, so Payne had a one-stroke lead going into the final hole. He missed the fairway with his drive, was forced to lay up and hit a wedge onto the green about 15 feet away, and then hit that dramatic putt 15 feet right in the center of the hole to win the U.S. Open Championship. It was his second U.S. Open, but clearly the one that meant the most to him.
And on a very, very difficult course. He was one under par to win that one. The 2005 championship was even par, the winner in 2005. It's a hard course, isn't it? What makes it so difficult?
It's very challenging. The green complexes are what makes Pinehurst such a challenging course. They're called turtleback greens, so that the greens, you really can only use about 50 to 60% of the surface area, because if you hit any of the sides, front or back, the ball is probably going to roll off and roll down into a collection area. So it's very difficult. Someone like Phil Mickelson is great around a course like this because he has so much imagination and creativity around the greens and great touch. And this year is going to be a little different as well. So between 2005 and this year, the course underwent a major renovation, or excuse me, restoration, I should say, by Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw. And this will be the first U.S. Open with no rough. So it doesn't necessarily mean it'll be any easier, because there's sand and wire grass, some natural areas off the sides of the fairway. And it's going to be so firm and fast that players' balls are going to end up there pretty frequently. And it'll be interesting to see how they cope with that, since it's something that they don't normally do on a week-to-week basis.
Well, tell us about these changes, replacing the rough with wire grass, et cetera. What's behind that? Why do that?
Well, that's how the course was originally intended by Donald Ross when he designed it back in 1907 and really through the 30s and 40s. Bermuda rough crept in over the years, and that's what we saw for the 99 and 2005 U.S. Opens. And then when Corr and Crenshaw came in, they wanted to bring it back to how Ross originally intended the course to play. You know, the interesting thing about this sand and wiregrass area is, you know, the two of us can go hit a drive. You know, yours can be 5 yards away from mine. You could have a perfect shot to the green. I may have to pitch out backwards. So it really brings what we like to call a rub of the green, or kind of just basically chance into play, or a little bit of luck. And we'll see what happens. But, the players are generally used to the rough. They see that every week. This is something a little different, so it'll be interesting to see how they react to that this year at Pinehurst.
And in any case, you just want to stay out of it. But I have heard some complaints about this, that while it takes us back to what was the original plan for this course, a lot of folks just don't like the way it looks. How does it look, and what's your take on that?
It will take a little adjusting to get used to it. You know, when you watch the Masters and see Augusta National, or even Marion last year for the U.S. Open, it looked very lush and green. How you normally see golf courses. When you see it this year, there's going to be a lot of brown spots. There's going to be places that are very firm and fast. And that sandy area is something that people aren't used to seeing on TV with championship courses. But what it allowed us to do, and what it allowed Pinehurst to do, is cut down on their water usage by about 70%. It allowed them to take up a lot of turf. There's a lot less maintenance. And I think it's a great lesson for a lot of other courses out there to learn from this and to adapt as we go into the future of golf, where sustainability is going to be a big issue. But, you know, I've heard a lot of praise from the players themselves. They really like how it plays. It'll certainly look a little different, but I think it'll be really exciting to watch them and see how they adapt this year.
Golf courses are going green. Think about it. Let me ask you this. I don't golf. And you said something a little bit earlier about the challenge of the greens having so much a percentage being basically out of play, going to roll back down the hill. And you said then players have to use a certain amount of creativity and imagination. And I think of skill. I think of experience in a game like golf. If I hit it this way, it'll go that way. How does creativity and imagination play into this game?
Well, I think it's especially a big role. It will play a big role here at Pinehurst, because you know, when the golf ball here rolls off the green into those collection areas, you have a lot of options. And in most courses the players play at, it's basically they'll pull a lob wedge or a sand wedge out of the bag, they'll chip it on the green, it'll roll out next to the pin, they'll tap in for their par. Here, it's not quite as simple. There's no rough, the ball's not sitting up. They're going to have to think, do I want to putt this ball up the hill onto the green? Do I want to bump it into the hill and have it roll out? Or do I want to try and flop it off a really tight lie from the fairway? So it makes the players think a lot more. And, you know, on a week-to-week basis, that's not something they're necessarily used to doing. You know, they're always, of course, trying to execute the shots the best of their ability, playing golf through the air. And what I mean by that is they'll hit a 7-iron, say 175 yards. It'll hit the green and stop right there. But because the U.S. Open course set up here at Pinehurst is so firm and fast, they're going to have to think about how the ball is going to react once it's on the ground. So that's what it's going to take, some foresight. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, someone with a little veteran experience might have a bit of an advantage out here at Pinehurst this year.
Do the players have time to bang the ball around and get a feel of the course before they actually compete?
They do. Several players came out in the weeks before. Phil Mickelson, Roy McIlroy have all played practice rounds out here. And then the course opened to play on Monday. So the players have been out here for a couple days already, trying to get used to the quirks of Pinehurst. And it's really interesting. You know, most courses that the players play throughout the PGA Tour season, they see every year on an annual basis. At the U.S. Open, it's a little different. We come to Pinehurst, it's the third time in the last 15 years, but it's not a course they see every year. We have 54 first-time players out here playing in their first U.S. Open, so this will be their first look at Pinehurst, at least in a competitive sense. So it'll be really interesting to see how they react to this course they don't see on a day-to-day basis.
You know, I heard that Payne Stewart had red spots actually circled on his scorecard as he played each hole, places he did not want to end up. I mean, is that common for golfers, or is that something you do at a course like Pinehurst?
Well, certainly with the yardage books, the players like to make notations on there, X number of yards to the bunker, here's what I need to carry. But with Payne Stewart, he never really did that. And talking to his caddy, Mike Hicks, when he came to Pinehurst, though, he took a look at the course and said, you know, this is going to be really important for me to understand where I can and can't miss. There are spots in Pinehurst where you can miss the green and still have an opportunity to get up and down. There's other spots where if you miss the green and shortside yourself, then you're going to have a real, real challenge trying to get up and down for bogey or even double bogey. So for Payne, that was the first time he did that. There are spots that he put in red on his yardage book that said, absolutely stay away from here. Do not go there. And actually, from what I've heard, that yardage book has been passed down to Jason Duffner, one of the players in the field this week. So he'll be carrying that with him in the 2014 U.S. Open Championship.
Hey, this is the first time the men's U.S. Open and the women's Open are going to be played on the same course in consecutive weeks. That has to be tough on the turf. How do you take care of a course through weeks of practice rounds and then two tournaments?
It's certainly a challenge, especially in the heat down here at Pinehurst. But Bob Barron, who's the superintendent down here at Pinehurst, has done a terrific job with his team. You know, the great thing about the land down here is that it is very much sand-based. So it can take a lot of water. It can take a little bit of abuse. So I think it'll be okay from what I've seen. The good thing is that even though we're playing two championships on the same course, the landing areas are going to be a little different from the players. They won't have to deal with divots too much. What Mike Davis tried to do is keep the shot values the same. So if a male player is hitting a 7-iron from 175 yards, a female player is hitting it from 150, there won't be the same areas where divots will be much of a factor. But certainly keeping those greens alive and running will certainly be a challenge in this heat. But I know that both Mike Davis and Bob Theron have taken all the precautions to do so, and we're really looking forward to it.
You know, they gave the green light to fracking in this state, and that's where all the natural gas is down there. So I guess another challenge in years to come will be plumes of flame coming out of the cups. That's going to be a very cool sight in years to come. Listen, there's
that will be a little different.
Oh, no, that makes it really hard to play golf. I know. 11-year-old girl playing in this tournament of the Women's Open, Lucy Lee, 11 years old. How did she qualify?
11 years old, pretty amazing. She is the youngest qualifier in U.S. Women's Open history. It's actually her third USGA championship. She played in two last year at the U.S. Women's Amateur and the U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links when she was 10 years old, believe it or not. And this year it'll be exciting. This will be her first U.S. Open championship. Yeah, we have a couple players who are over 50 years old in the field, but having seen Lucy hit a couple of shots, she is deadly accurate off the tee. and that's certainly a virtue here at Pinehurst. So if she can keep it in play, I think there's certainly a good chance she can make the cut and contend for a low amateur, even at age 11.
What do they do now? Do they make an effort? Does the tour, the tournament itself, make an effort to pair her with somebody in particular because she's so young, or how do they make those decisions?
Not necessarily. There's a committee that makes those decisions on the groupings and starting times at the USGA. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I don't think you'll necessarily see her paired up with a veteran player, but it certainly could be. The USGA does have a bit of a sense of humor from time to time, and you know, it would be interesting to see her with Julie Inkster and Laura Davies, 250-somethings out on the course this year. You know, people who could be her mother or even her grandmother.
Michael, thank you so much for talking with us.
Frank, thanks for having me.
Michael Trostel is senior historian for the USGA. That's the state of things for today. Thanks for listening. If you have a comment about the show or want to hear an archived edition, our website is stateofthings.org. Our program produced by Laura Lee, Megan Modafferi, Anita Rao, and Will Michaels. Our intern is Charlie Shelton. Robin Copley is the technical director. Al Wodarski sitting in today. Brent Wolf is our news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.